But he wrote some wonderful, wonderful hymns that we all cherish. John chapter 1. Let's read verses 35 through 39 again. John chapter 1, 35 through 39. The next day, after John stood, two of his disciples looking upon, saw the Lord walking past, and he saith, and I'm sure he shouted this out for all to hear, loud and clear, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples that were with him heard him speak. They heard that. The Lamb of God. And they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following. And he saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi, Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you abide?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came, and they saw where he dwelt. And they abode with him. They stayed with him that day. And I believe they stayed with him for the next 3.5 years. They're with him now. It was about the 10th hour. Verse 38 is the text, really, and the question of all questions. The Lord said to these two men that were following him, "What seek ye?" The Lord turned to them. They were following him. He asked them this searching question. That's a question for all of the Lord's disciples, all who claim to be disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, a heart-searching, vital, life-or-death question. What seek ye? What are you looking for? Reminds me of 1 Kings 19. You may remember the story of Elijah running, and the Lord came to him. Remember, the Lord said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" He asked him that twice. Why are you here? What are you doing here? What are you looking for? What are you waiting for? Well, the Lord asked them, "What seek ye?" Now, our Lord said this, and it is true, of everything in this life. Seek and you shall find. If you seek hard enough, diligently enough, if you are ambitious enough and work hard at it, generally you will find exactly what you're seeking for. If someone is industrious, ambitious, and diligent and wants to be rich and famous, you can be that. You can be that. If you want to go after whatever it is, if you give it your all. These people that are so talented in whatever it is, music or sports or whatever, some of them were very ordinary people, but they just gave it their all. And they became very good at it. Seek and you shall find. So, all the more important is this question, what seek? What are you looking for? What am I looking for? Now, most people come to religious services the first time. The first time, and many continue to come for the wrong reasons. Most everyone comes for the wrong reasons, and some continue to do so. Many people come because they get in trouble, and they think religion's going to get them out of their troubles, whatever they may be, and they think that if they can reform, they can get out of these troubles, right? Many people come for social reasons. They want the society of other people. They want to meet people, see people. For many people, that's all it's about. What are they seeking? Why do they come? They come to see other people. They come to seek a mate or something like that, or just friendship. For some, they come for advantage. When I was a young man, I just realized that if I didn't clean up my act and cut my hair and start acting civil, I wasn't going to get a good job. And I knew that there were men of means in the church where I grew up, so I started coming. I needed a good job, and I got one. One of the men graciously gave me a job in his company, construction. Some people do that. They come to religious services for advantage, for what they can get out of whomever by being religious. Some come out of duty, obligation. Some come out of habit, grow up in church. It's all you've ever done, so you just go to church. Some people do it to please other people. Please other people. Please their parents. Please their children. Please their mate. A husband or a wife wants her husband to go, so he goes with her to please her. Right? Happens all the time. Some people go to be entertained. Some people go to salve their conscience. They think, I'll just be religious and do this duty and, you know, then I'll be okay with God. What seek you? That's what the Lord asking him. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? I ask that to every person. I tell every person that comes here or I try to get to come here. There's one thing. If you come here, there's only one reason for you to come here. Because we do one thing here. One thing. Preach the Word of God. Preach Christ. If you're looking for anything else, you won't find it here. You will not find it here. If you're looking for the truth, you'll find it. You'll hear it. But very little else goes on here, right? Very little else. The story here is of a preacher named John. A man sent by God named John. Started with a preacher. That's why these two men were seekers. They became disciples of this man, this preacher. A man sent from God. He was sent from God to do one thing. Most people would have thought, and you would think so now, that John wasn't very sociable. Guarantee you'd think he was maybe a little rude and inconsiderate and not very sociable. He was certainly not as Hollywood depicts him, as a wild man, as a maniac. No, no, no. John was very loving, tender-hearted, I know, and gracious and merciful and kind and loving. But his mission in life was one thing. So was Paul. So is every true preacher of the gospel. One thing. I heard my preacher say, I didn't come to socialize. I didn't come to politicize. I didn't come to reform. I came to preach the gospel. That's what Paul said. I'm determined not to know anything among you. Be taken up with anything. John's mission was one thing. Preach Christ. And it's the same with every true God-sent man. It's the same. If he's worth his salt, he's full of salt. His speech seasoned with salt. He's not much interest. He's conversant with many things. But he's not much interested in conversing about anything but Christ. He's not much interested in you knowing or being anything but knowing Christ and being like Him. Paul said, my little children, to the Galatians, of whom I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. That's what he said. That's the whole mission. John, verse 35, had two disciples. Someone may say, you're not supposed to follow a man. Is that right? No, it's not right. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Our Lord said in Jeremiah chapter 3, I will give you pastors after my own heart. What is a pastor? The word means shepherd. The word means a shepherd. The fact of the matter is, if we don't have a shepherd, we're not a sheep. If we don't follow his shepherd, we're not a sheep. There must be leaders. There must be followers in all walks of life. Right? Romans 13 says there, every power is of God. They're ordained of God. Rulers are not a terror to good work. And there are rulers in all walks of life, and there are rulers in the church. It must be so. And God has raised them up. They're not lords. They're not popes. Nevertheless, they have the oversight. They have their leaders and their rulers. Look at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Paul said, I beseech you, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me. Is Paul pointing to them, to himself? No, in no way. Not like John. There were two disciples of John. John preached Christ. That's all he did, preach Christ. Didn't he? Behold the Lamb of God. There comes one who's preferred before me, before he was before me. He must increase, I must decrease. But these men were following John until Christ came along. And there wasn't anything wrong with that. It was the right thing to do. Read on. Follow me even as I also am of Christ. Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Quickly. Hebrews 13. It says here in verse 7, remember them. Think you have it? Hebrews 13, 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Someone may say, well, that was Paul speaking. Well, but he says here, whoever it is God has put over you, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so he says, pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience in all things. Well, go back to our text. So these two disciples. Now, here's the comfort and the peace and the safety of God's people. And in the same, in another place, he said, know them that have the rule over you. Get to know them. And what you do, if you know that God has sent them and they're men whom God has sent, then you can comfortably follow them. But here's the comfort and peace and safety of the believer, because there's so many false prophets out there, because there's so many evil men, seducers. They wax worse and worse, and they disguise themselves, angels of light, ministers of righteousness, Satan's minister. Here's the comfort. Our Lord said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. Now, that's a fact. He's not left himself without a witness. And our Lord said in John chapter 10, he said, my sheep won't follow a stranger. No. They won't do it. They may briefly, but then says they'll flee from him. They'll flee from a stranger. Well, how do you know them? These two men followed John. How do you know them? What did John preach? Not what? Who? Christ. He didn't preach himself. Didn't Paul say, brethren, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. It's very clear to you. It's very plain to you, men that preach themselves. Very plain. They came to John. I'm having a hard time getting out of this chapter. It's so wonderful. But remember, they came to John and asked him who he was, and he wouldn't even tell them his name. Our Lord said, let a man come in his own name and men will receive him. They'll just fawn all over him. They'll receive him. What a great man. The true men of God don't come in their own name. Don't do it. They're not interested in you knowing their name. They're interested in you knowing the one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, knowing Him. Well, look at verses 35 and 36. With these two disciples of John. That's why I said that, or dealt with that in case you had a problem with it. He had many disciples. He was a true man. Verse 36. They looked upon Jesus as John, looking upon Jesus as he walked, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." This man was a preacher. And how you know God sent him was he preached God's Christ. And a man sent from God. When God spoke out loud twice in the New Testament, both times were concerning His Son. Three times, one to His Son, two to men. One at His baptism, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Another time at His transfiguration to those disciples, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." And then once to Christ to pray, "Father, glorify Thy name." He said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." God has spoken once and twice, and men perceive it not. He's spoken concerning His Son. So who do men that God sends speak about? Christ. That's how you know. All these fellows that claim to be sent from God, if they don't preach Christ, God didn't send them. That's what Jeremiah 23 said. "I didn't send them. Speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of My word." John preached Christ and Him crucified. Paul did. Paul said, "I'm determined to know nothing among you but Him." This is the message. This is the gospel. The gospel is this: how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures as the Lamb of God. This is the message. The Lamb of God. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's why Christ came into this world. Not to reform the world, not to change the world, but to save His people out of the world from their sin. And we've got to always be beholding the Lamb of God. Same old message. Look at Exodus 12 with me. Same old message. We just looked at this a few Wednesdays ago as we observed the Lord's table. And to look at the same things with you is not grievous to Me. And it's safe for you. It's salvation for you. There's one thing needful. One thing we must seek. When our Lord said, "What seek ye?" There's one thing. One thing needful. All right, look at this. Exodus 12, verse 3. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, His spokesman, He told them what to speak. He said in verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their father." A lamb for a house. Verse 4, "Every man, if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the soul. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb." Everyone must have a lamb. A lamb. Do you have a lamb? What seek ye? Do you have a lamb? Look at this. Verse 5. "Is this your lamb? Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, taken out from the sheep or from the goats." You know, few people believe that Christ was born of a virgin. Few preachers believe that these days. Few people believe that. Few people even care. What does it matter, they say. Your lamb must be without spot and without blemish. Your lamb must be born of a virgin. What about your lamb? If he's your lamb, he must be without sin. If not, he's just a sinner like you. He can't save you. When John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," he's talking about the sinless Lamb. The Son of God. Verse 7, look at this. "And they kept it up and observed it, is observed to be without sin. Take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. Verse 8, they shall eat that flesh in that night. Have you eaten the flesh and drunk the blood of the Son of God? I don't mean the Lord's table. I mean the gospel. Do you hunger and thirst after Christ? Have you eaten? Have you found Him to satisfy your need? Satisfy your soul? He said, eat it. Verse 8, they shall eat that flesh with bitter herbs. Have you tasted the bitterness of your own sin? And have you eaten that precious body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and found that it's all a sinner need? Have you? Look at verse 12 and 13. The Lord says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. These are the last days, folks. The very last of the last days. It's very clear from Scripture. The Lord has promised that He's coming back. His death angel's coming through this world. He's going to pass through this land called Egypt and smite man and beast and everything. Verse 12, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. But the blood of a lamb shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. What's it get? Why do we come here tonight? What if the Lord comes tonight? He might. What's important? Why do we come here? What's it get? Story of Rahab. Those two spies came to her. And they told her of a sure token that Joshua was coming to destroy that land of Jericho. And they told her, this scarlet line, you tie it in the window. We're coming back. And when we see this scarlet line, we're taking you with us. What was important to Rahab? What do you think she did every day? She checked that scarlet line. They didn't tell her when they were coming. She had no idea. It was months later. But every day, she went seeking. She went looking. Is it there? Her life depends upon it. Her family's life depends upon it. Is it still there? My life. You think she was taken up with politics? You think she's worried about the next election? Huh? Do you? Think you know she was worried about where she's going to get her next rent payment? Is the blood there? Is it there? What seek ye? When you lie in bed at night. David said, commune with your heart upon your bed and be still. What do you think about it? What do you think about stocks and bonds? If you're like me, you don't have any, so you don't think about that. But the deceitfulness of riches? What about tomorrow's job? Tomorrow? Our Lord said, there may be no tomorrow. Maybe no tomorrow. One thing needful. What seek ye? What seek ye? Maybe no tomorrow. Amen. Go back to our text. This is serious. We have one message. We have one message. Not trying to be dramatic. Trying to be truthful. John 1, verse 37. They heard John speak and they followed Christ. Some do by God's grace. Some hear the truth. Some given ears to hear and desire to seek Christ and faith to follow Him. And the Lord asks every true follower of Him, and this is a good question for us to ask ourselves at all times, every time we come here. honestly. What am I looking for? What am I looking for? Well, look at their answer. I love this. They said unto him, Rabbi, Master, where do you live? What they said was, we're seeking you. Came to seek you. You know, the Lord healed everyone that had need of healing. Everyone that came to Him and asked Him to do whatever, heal their blindness, heal their deafness, heal their daughter, He did it. Then they asked this man, what do you seek? And he may have given them whatever. And they sure gave the right answer, didn't they? We want you. So he said, come and see. I love that. Come and see. What'd they see? Him. You know, most people don't see anything in Him. Why? They're not seeking Him. They don't come to Him. If you've come to Him, you know why you came to Him. Because David said, when thou said, seek my face, that's when I said, thy face shall I see. And he said, come unto me. And you came, and you see, don't you? You see in Christ all your need. They said unto him, Master. This is more than just saying, you know, the Pharisees called him that. Pharisees always called him that, Master, or Jesus. His enemies all called him Jesus. His disciples called him Lord after they got to know him. None of them ever called him Jesus. By the way, when the Scriptures keeps referring to him as Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit distinguishing him from the Father. Distinguishing him from, if they called him Lord, you might not know which one they were talking about. They call him Jesus. All right? But his disciples never, ever, ever called him Jesus. Called him Lord. And our Lord one time says, you call me Lord and Master to his disciple. You call me Lord and Master, he said. And you say, well, so I am. But the Holy Spirit, give you a good illustration. One Arthur Pink was an Englishman. He said, back when King George was king of England, he said, now the Queen of England can call him George. She can say George this and George that, but the subjects don't. So the Spirit of God could call him Jesus, but you call him Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, at any rate, they said, Master, and this is more than the Pharisee. They're saying, you're our teacher, we're your disciple. From here on, John was teaching us, we need a greater teacher than he. You teach us. We're hanging on your every word. Like Peter, Andrew, brother. He said, you have the words of life. So if someone, what do you see? I need a teacher. I need an all-wise teacher. I need someone who knows everything. I need that prophet. That's what the woman at the well said. When Christ has come, He'll show us all things. Yeah, He has. Master, you be our Master. We'll be your disciples. Okay? Master. I can't help but think of a master of a dog like the Syrophoenician woman, huh? She came to him, didn't she? And what do you see? He said, crumbs. Dogs just want a few crumbs. Master, if you'll just give me a few crumbs, I'll follow you anywhere. A few crumbs of mercy, a few crumbs of grace. But our Master doesn't give crumbs. You don't give your dog crumbs, do you? I know you all. You take them to church suppers. I used to know a man who had a dog down in Winston-Salem. And he loved that dog. His wife had died. And it's just him and his dog. And every day he'd take that dog to McDonald's. And he'd buy him a Big Mac. And he'd buy old Rover a Big Mac. Our Lord doesn't give His dogs crumbs. No, our cup runneth over. They're saying, you're our shepherd. We're sheep. dumb, ignorant sheep, we need to follow you. We want you to lead us. We want you to feed us. We need you to protect us. You're our Lord. We're your subjects. Reign over us. Do thou reign over us. You're our King. We're your servant. They said, where dwellest thou? Now, he doesn't dwell everywhere. He doesn't dwell everywhere. We saw that in the Song of Solomon, didn't we? Where was the beloved found? All the time. When she went looking for him, couldn't find him, where was he? In the garden. Always find him there. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. That's where God is. That's where Christ is. You always find him where two or three of his love wants, his beloved are found. You'll always find him there. You find him there. They came. Verse 39. They came and they saw. And they abode. They came, they saw, and they abode. What did they see? Well, our eyes haven't seen. We have seen by faith. But John said this in 1 John 1. We beheld, John 1, we beheld his glory. Peter said we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, his power, and his coming. They beheld his salvation like Simeon. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh my. If you come to Christ, if you're looking for him, you'll find him. You come to him where he dwells, you'll see his glory. You'll see his honor. You'll hear his voice. And you'll get his peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. This is significant. Verse 39. It was about the 10th hour. Every word of our Lord is relevant. This story, these two men seeking the Lord, because seeking the Lord is urgent. The time is short. Time is short. It's supposed to redeem the time. It's not the 10th hour. It's at least the 11th hour. In this world. Time's about over. It was almost midnight. That's when the cry will come. Remember? Our Lord told the parable of the bridegroom at midnight. The cry came. He says, 10th hour. 2 hours left after then. 2,000 years. He's at the door. The time to come. Seek him now. Today is the day of salvation. What seek you? I look at this crowd, and I look at you. You come here, and I see in your faces genuine interest, a genuine desire, genuine love for this message, for this gospel. That's what I see. How I thank the Lord today. I don't see people coming out of duty. I don't see you coming for advantage. Who in here could you gain anything from? I don't see anybody trying to please anybody else here. That's so wonderful. And what seek you? Oh, preacher, just tell us, just preach Christ to us. Just preach Christ. Okay, stand with me. Our Lord, thank you for the simplest of phrases, words that you spoke, words of life. As we examine ourselves, whether we are the faith, like these disciples, you ask us, examine our hearts, commune with our hearts. What seek ye? Each of us ask ourselves, what do I look for? What do I seek? What do I need? Is Christ my all? Is he all I need? All I seek? Oh Lord, make it so in these last days, in this last hour. Time is so short. Create an interest, Lord. Create a desire, a hunger, and a thirst in someone's heart who has not yet had that. We pray for your glory and honor, for their salvation. We will rejoice. Thank you for what you've done for these people, for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.